Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Today I want to speak to you about discouragement. Our text is from Numbers, chapter 21, verse 4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now, dear ones, in this passage we find Israel about to reach the promised land after 39 years of wandering. Once again, they were tested. They were forbidden to take the shortcut through the land of Edom. Instead, they were told to take a long, arduous detour through the Araba Desert, a treacherous, inhospitable place with scorching heat, sand storms, poisonous snakes, and scorpions. Friend, I write to tell you that as Israel was tested, so you will be tested. There's also an Araba for you, the road to what God wants you to be and to have will not be well paved. It will not be a road designed for luxury buses. It will be as rough as Jesus' journey from Bethlehem to the cross to Calvary, or as Paul's three missionary journeys. Don't expect less, and you will not be disappointed. For my friend, God will see to it that you have all the supplies you need to endure the heat, the storms, the snakes, and the barren land. Remember that the Araba is not of the devil, but of the God who loves you and redeemed you to be his son's bride. This road is placed there by the Heavenly Father to make you a choice warrior and to see if you're worthy to walk with him in white. This comes from Revelation 3:4. If you're worthy to walk with him in white. Well, of course, we're not worthy of the blood of the Lamb, but after we are born again, we have to become worthy heirs in the eyes of God. We become worthy in the eyes of God by taking up our cross to follow Jesus. All those around the throne are worthy to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ forever. Among the Israelites, only those who were worthy were given the privilege to enter the promised land. That's only 2 out of 1.5 million. And the worthy ones were those who did not allow discouragement to defeat them or cause them to complain or rebel against their Lord. Those who were worthy were those who drew on God's omnipotent mercy and grace in the midst of disappointing circumstances surrounding them. We all will be tested as Israel was. None, absolutely none, of us will be exempt. So any preacher who leads his people around the Araba Desert is not of God. Israel was much discouraged, depressed, because of the way. The devil did not make it hard for Israel, my friend. God did it. Any preacher who is a messenger of the broad way, the smooth way, is a deceiver. Friend, the kingdom of God is not cheap. Salvation is not cheap. Sanctification is not cheap. Enduring the cross, fighting the good fight of faith is not cheap. Heaven is not cheap. Preacher, you may be able to fill the ark with people, but remember that if the people are not a holy people, the ark will sink. There is no way to heaven but through the cross, his cross and our daily cross. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Yes, the Araba is hard. All of God's true children are tempted to be discouraged. That is one side of the coin. But on the other side is that all true children have a sure cure against giving in to discouragement. Even Jesus was tempted to be discouraged. The same things that tempt us tempted him. Isn't that good to know? Concerning everything you go through, he can say, "Precious child, I have gone through that before you have ever gone through it." he too was tempted to be discouraged because of the way. His disciples doubted, betrayed, denied him. But Jesus never gave in to the temptation of discouragement. He was only disappointed. Disappointment is inevitable, but you can flee from discouragement. Do not allow yourselves to be discouraged. Discouragement leads to doubting. It always breeds poor judgment and talks a lot of nonsense. It destroys faith. It leads to complaining, murmuring, and a life of sour grapes and total defeat. Just as Israel and our Savior had to learn to walk the Arabah without discouragement, so must you and I. We know it is possible, both under the Old Covenant and under the New. So the first portrait of a man who walked with God after the fall was Enoch. He was a lone figure in a hell-bound world of wickedness, and yet he kept discouragement out of his heart. Genesis says Enoch walked with God and God took him. Listen, Enoch had an abundant supply of grace before Pentecost, and God expected Joshua to drink of that same supply when he lay on his face discouraged at Ai. He expected Elijah to drink of it under the juniper tree. He expected Job to say, "His grace is sufficient for me," instead of, "Cursed be the day on which I was born." God chided all of these men for being discouraged. The way was hard for all of them, and they were some of the best of men. But God was disappointed with them. As Enoch fought off discouragement, so all of them could have done so also. The people was much discouraged because of the way, is our text. The way can get us discouraged. The heat, the sandstorms, the serpents, the meager earthly supplies. But there is a way above the way. Praise God. Our feet may be on a scorched, dry earth, but our hearts should be on and in the way of all ways. Jesus said, "I am the way." Paul and Silas' feet were in the stocks, in maximum security, but their hearts were soon in and on the way called straight. At the midnight hour, they sang praises to God. Oh, Israel was much discouraged because of the way. So they too could have sung, but they did not. They did not consider the pillar of fire by night and the cloud during the day that testified of God's presence. Even in the Arabah, they had the fire and the cloud and the bread from heaven. My friend, you choose what you're looking at. If you look at your rocky path, you will get discouraged. If you look to Jesus, you get Jesus' power moving in and through you. Look at how Paul expresses his journey through the Arabah of his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, not discouraged. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, yet not forsaken, cast down, my friend, but not destroyed, for we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." Somehow Enoch had a pre-Pentecostal taste of all that. Paul's attitude could have been a great encouragement to Joshua, Elijah, and Job in their hours of severe trial, don't you think? Never, never once do you see any notes of discouragement in the writings of Paul, not a one in all his Arabah journeys. Disappointments, yes, such as we see in these words, "All they which are in Asia be turned away from me, or no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Again, disappointments, yes, but not discouragement. Why is discouragement inexcusable, but disappointment is not? What is the difference between disappointment and discouragement? Disappointment is unavoidable. It is a simple recognition that the world is not fair, that things are not as we expect them to be or as they ought to be. Disappointment comes out of us facing reality. Again, Jesus was disappointed with men. He faced reality. But discouragement is when we let disappointment get into us, when we leave out the God factor, the but God factor, the but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So discouragement is only taken in a partial sweep of reality. It sees only the darkness and not the light. It only takes in what is of the earth and not what is of heaven. Discouragement says, the world is not fair. It leaves out the but God is good factor. That was the problem with Joshua, Elijah, and Job in their times of crisis. That is your problem when you're down. You forget about heaven. Paul never let that happen to him. He never let the Araba get into his heart. They were much discouraged, it says, because of the way. There's no reason for you to let this happen to you, my friend. Enoch, once again, never let it happen to him. He had a lot less of spiritual goods in his backpack than we do. He did not have the Holy Spirit in him, but only with him. How much more do you have by having the Holy Spirit in you? Can that be measured? Is it not the first function of the Holy Spirit to be a comforter to you in the Arabus of your life? Did not Jesus introduce the Holy Spirit as the comforter? There's these words, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Have you received this comforter, the one who adds the but God factor to your disappointments? Why don't you receive him? Oh, you first have God the Father is a comforter, Jesus a comforter, and then Jesus said, that's not enough. I sent you another comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. My friend, you indeed need to take advantage of this great comforter. Comforting you is his primary function. So then, the Araba is unavoidable. It is God sent. It is God's will. But being much discouraged, being in any way discouraged, is indeed avoidable. That is part of the gospel. Receive it and share it with others, and you and they shall be found worthy to walk with him in white. Because as he overcame, so shall we also overcome and sit with him in the Father's throne forever. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this precious time we had together. We thank you for every verse of this holy Bible and how it invigorates us and how it nudges us back again and again to the center of your will. How, Lord God, it gives us a foundation to stand on. Oh, we thank thee for thy precious, holy, sacred promises. We praise you today, Lord, for victory in Christ Jesus, and that all things are possible to those who believe. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. And goodbye now until next week.